Have your Bibles this morning if you'll find your way to the Gospel of Mark. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 10. Mark, chapter number 10. Find here one of the last healings that Christ did before going to or on his way to Jerusalem to the cross. He was passing through Jericho for the last time, and he comes across this gentleman, a blind man, and gave him his sight back, blind Bartimaeus. So we're going to begin reading in verse number 46 this morning, Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse number 46. The Bible says, "They came to Jericho as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stood still and said, 'Call him here.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he is calling you.' So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And then Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said to him, 'My teacher, let me see again.' Jesus said to him, 'Go, your faith has made you well.' Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way." Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful that you do indeed give sight to the blind. Lord, those that perhaps are spiritually blind, how that you awaken us, Lord, convict us, and that we call out to you. And Lord, I pray that as we look at this word this morning, that you would hide me behind that precious cross of Calvary. Lord, that these dear folk not see me today, but they would see you. Speak to our hearts. Again, save that one that is lost. Bring that one to repentance that is backslidden. And Lord, for whatever you do, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Casting away the garments of sin is the title that I would like to give this message this morning. Of course, we've heard this story and probably have read this account on multiple occasions throughout our life. We've had Sunday school lessons on this passage. We've heard countless sermons, right, on this particular passage. And it is a beautiful passage because, spiritually speaking, if we want to get theological for a moment, we were all at some point blind Bartimaeus, right? Just like we were all at some point a Paul. We were all much like these individuals, spiritually speaking. We have all been, and perhaps even some still are, a Jonah, right? And so, who was this blind man? In verse 46, we find where he's given a name, Bartimaeus. He's the son of Timaeus. He is a beggar, and he is the very picture of a lost sinner. He was born in sin. The psalmist writes in Psalm 51, he said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." And then Paul writes over in the book of Romans that we are all sinned, and that we all come short of the glory of God. So we're born in sin, but he was also born blind spiritually. That's representative to us. He was born blind physically. We blind are blind spiritually. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Dear friend, there's a lot of folk that are blind spiritually. And this passage speaks volumes, even in our modern day of today. Notice what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He said, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not." Now, dear friend, the battles that we face in this life are, as it was mentioned in the back just a moment ago, that this is a spiritual warfare that is happening. And it's not that the gospel is not being preached and not being proclaimed. It's not that people can't see the gospel. It's because they are spiritually blind and they have bowed themselves down to the God of this world. And they've allowed this world to dictate who they are, what they are, and how they believe. They're blind spiritually. This blind man could not save himself, right? He could not make himself to see again. And that is a picture to us that we are unable to save ourselves. Ephesians, Paul again writing, he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Dear friend, we could never in this life or another life or a previous life, there is not enough lives that we could have to where we could earn or gain our acceptance to heaven. There's not enough good things in this world for us to ever be able to accomplish, to earn ourselves a place in heaven. I would dare say, as a carnal human being, right, that for every good thing that I've done, I've probably done two or three, maybe more, bad things, right? And so there's no way to... The equilibrium is not there, right? Because once we do a good thing, we've got two or three others that have canceled that out. We could never earn ourselves a place in heaven. And Paul said this. He says, it's not the works that have saved you, for it is by grace. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Through that mercy, through that grace, and it's not of yourselves. You know, we like to take credit for everything, right? Give you a place in school this week. I had a kid that didn't really want to do the work, right? It was a group activity, and all the other kids were doing the work, and this kid was just there. It's kind of like, maybe I shouldn't say this, it's kind of like when you're going down the highway, right, and there's like six people on the side of the highway filling a pothole, and you have like five of them standing there watching the one guy do the work. That's the image, okay? This kid was just there. He wasn't doing anything. He was there, but he wasn't doing anything. But when the project was done, right, and they were awarded for their work, he was the first to chime in, right? Paul is saying that everything that we do, we're not saved by our merits. We're saved because of the grace and the mercy of God. And it's not of yourself, right? There's nothing you can do. It is the gift of God. This is who the blind man was. But notice in verse 47, the person that he met, Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. And it was a cry for this mercy. And notice his persistence here. The crowd told him to be quiet, right, to silence. But he knew who Jesus was. And Jesus happened to be passing through. And so what did the scripture say? He cried all the more louder, right? And Jesus stood still and called for him to come to Him. What does this mean for us today? Dear friend, there will be those that will try to silence you, right? We saw that this week, right? When you stand for truth and you speak truth, people don't want that. And they will try to silence you. We've seen it throughout history. I can think of three other individuals off the top of my head that were silenced because of the words that they spoke, because people didn't like it. May I say to you that we are living in a time where when people disagree, it's no longer John Wesley would say, agree to disagree. We can't do that no more, right? If I don't agree with you, then I have to take a life. That's the mentality that we live in. Can I say to you that today is a day that when you stand for the gospel and what the Word of God says, you can be expected to be tried to be silenced. But we as Christians need to be all the more what? Louder. To stand up and to speak up for what the gospel says, that we are lost and dying in our sins, and that we need a Savior, and that there is no one person that walks the face of this earth that can deliver you from that sin. Because the one that can deliver has already walked the face of this earth and died on the cross of Calvary. And so this blind man knew that this Jesus was on his way to Calvary. He had probably already heard the stories of all those that had been healed beforehand. You know, news travels fast, right? I think I told y'all one time before, I was in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I was eating in a restaurant. There was a family that was from Mississippi, and I asked them, being from Mississippi, what part of Mississippi were they from? And they mentioned Calhoun County. Well, Calhoun County was where the church that I had just left when I moved to Cincinnati, that's where the church was. And I said, really? I said, and who are y'all? You know, and they let me know. I knew that family. News travels fast, right? You never know who you're going to meet. This person that this blind man met was Jesus. And notice here, he called for him to come. And dear friend, can I say to you today that Jesus is still calling? He's still calling. He said in Matthew chapter 11, to come unto me all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's calling today. Who the blind man was, the person that he met in verse 47. Verse 50, we see what he did. This always struck me as interesting in verse 50. So he says, so throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Now, some would say, well, there's nothing interesting about that statement. He just took his jacket off and got up and went to Jesus, right? Well, I don't look at it that way. I have this thing where I like to spiritualize and theologically dissect what is being said here. So what does this mean? Can we spiritualize it for a moment? This man was blind, right? He met Jesus. He called out for Jesus, right? Jesus told him to come. He takes off his jacket or his cloak. What does it symbolize? He's casting away his garment. And dear friend, he casts away his garment as symbolic of us casting away our garment of sin when we come to Jesus. Genesis chapter 35 says, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. Is that not a word for us today? To put away the strange gods. See, preacher, I don't have gods in my life. Really? We can, again, is how you define God, right? You may not necessarily have some temple built and some statue erected, and you go and pray 3, 6, 9 times a day to this and adore it with things and promote it as your God. And you may not offer sacrifice to this God, but I can assure you there are folk today that have gods in their life. Anything that takes preeminence in your life above God, the God, Yeshua, God, is a God in your life. And here Jacob said to put away these things, to be clean, and to change your garments. Repentance is necessary. What did Jesus say? He said, "Nay, I tell you, except you repent, you will perish." There must be repentance. Terrifying, testifying both to the Jews in the book of Acts chapter 20, to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith towards your Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we are to be doing, to testify to those that are lost, that it is time to cast away the garments of sin. He rose and went to Jesus. But then what happens? Notice in verse 51, we've seen who this blind man was. We see the person that he met. We see what he did in verse 50. And then in verse 51, we see what he received. Notice the question that is asked here. He said, "What is it that I should do for you? Or what should I do to you?" And it wasn't about getting rich, right? It wasn't, "Lord, pay my house off." You know, I get a kick out of televangelists today. I can preach all day on TV preachers, all right? That's another sermon for another day. But nonetheless, he didn't pray, "Lord, pay my medical bills or pay my car off, or I need a new car, or I want this cruise, or I need a mansion, or I need this, or I need that." It was very simple, right? "Lord, that I might see again." How simple. And immediately his blind eyes were opened. And notice that the scripture didn't stop there. He said, and he followed him in the way. Paul was writing to the church at Corinth again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new." Can you imagine for a moment this blind man receiving his sight? All of the wonder and the beauty of the world is now able to be seen. Once all he could do was hear about it, right? He could hear the kids playing in the street. He could hear the music and the festivities going on day after day, and year after year, and week after week, and all of these things that are happening, but never able to see. And now he can see. And he followed Christ in the way. Dear friend, can I say again, spiritualizing this just a moment, that once we receive our sight, spiritually speaking, once we are casted away our garments of sin and we're clothed anew in Christ and Christ has forgiven us, we are to be, like Paul said, "Therefore, if we are in Christ, then we are a new creature. And all those things of the old and the past are gone. And all things are new." Isn't that great? I got this week a thing for my car. It plugs in your cigarette thing. And you put water in it. And it's an air purifier is what it is. Nonetheless, it pulls all of the smell, the nastiness that your car gets over time, right? And that van, of course, y'all know it used to be in the mortuary, so all kinds of stuff, right? So anyway, I put it in the van, and it catches all of this dirt and allergens that are in the air that you don't even know is there, and it traps it in this water, which once it's trapped in water, you know, it can't go nowhere. And so you just change the water out every so often. And yet, nonetheless, I changed it out last night. And when I tell you that water was like the brown, milky-looking kind of water, I was like, wow, and I've been breathing this, you know, in the van. No wonder I am the way I am, right? But when I stepped in the van this morning and that freshness, you know, it just hits you kind of like a new car smell, right? It's amazing, right? I picture that that's how Christ does with us. He takes us and he cleans us up, right? As dirty as we are, sinful as we are, and he makes us become new. What Jesus did for Bartimaeus, he can do for you as well. There was a song years ago, and I don't know, I should have probably researched it, but I didn't. It's an old song, and I've only heard Elvis do it when he was doing his gospel music. So it's an old Elvis gospel. And when he sang it, I fell in love with this song. And it kind of ties into this because what Christ did for Bartimaeus, he can do for us. And the song says, "The chimes of time ring out the news that another day is through. That someone slipped and fell, was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. That it is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do." Then I thought of another song, and I don't know the name of this one. It was just one that I can vaguely remember, and I may have messed up when I wrote these words down, but nonetheless, Bartimaeus started following Christ, right? That moment, there is no night, for in his light, you'll never walk alone. You'll always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power that can conquer you. While God is on your side, take him at his promise. Don't run away and hide. Dear friend, Jesus stands with his arms open wide. And just as he called for Bartimaeus that day, he is calling for you today. Can I encourage you this morning to come without delay? Amen. We'll sing a hymn of invitation. This is your opportunity. Maybe you need salvation. Maybe rededication. Again, maybe it's just simply saying, "Lord, help me. Help me to be a voice. Help me to stand firm in my faith when all other else have left me. Help me to remain standing." Whatever it is, will you come and do that as we sing? thankful he never passes us by. Amen. He's always with us. Anything that needs to be said before we dismiss this morning? If not, I encourage you to stay and be a part of our fellowship. I know probably most all of you will, and I know there's plenty of food back there. So there's nothing else then. I'll dismiss us, and I'll go ahead and bless the food as well. Let's pray. Father, again, we are thankful, Lord, for your presence here today. Lord, for still calling us, even when we slip and fall, and Lord, when we fail you, how you call us back and get us back on the straight and narrow. Lord, help us to be a light that shines in darkness. Help us to lead those who are spiritually blind, Lord, to receive the sight that only you can give. Lord, as we depart from here and go our separate ways, we pray that you would grant us safety, that you would bring us back the next appointed time. And Lord, as we go into this time of fellowship and partake of this meal that has been prepared, we just pray that you would bless those who have taken the time and the resources to make it, Lord, and for us as we partake, that it would be nourishment to our bodies and our bodies in turn to your service. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.